Welcome to Blinkers Off with your hosts, Jared Welch and Aaron Halterman.
What is up, everybody? Welcome back to Blinkers Off. It's a very special Blinkers Off today. Jared is not with us, but we do have a guest to fill in, and it's the best one we've ever had. I'm just going to say it. My buddy, Paul Withrow, he's in the Fantasy League. He's been on Blinkers Off before. Paul, it is also a very special day. It's your birthday. So it's like when we needed a fill in, you were the one. So, Paul, welcome to the show. How you doing?
I'm good. And, what better birthday am I in the middle of than the one right now, right? So it starts with a Knightsbridge victory earlier today for me and hopefully ends with the Cyclones victory tonight. And in the middle of it, I get to spend some time and talk about horses with you.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's the perfect birthday. I think it is the perfect birthday. Yeah, better call Paul. You just got to call him up. I'll tell you a little story. I didn't call him because nobody calls anymore, but I text Paul about 30 minutes before we were going to do the show. I said, hey, you want to do it? He said, yeah, sure. So it was easy enough. So, Paul, I appreciate it. Let's talk about Cyclones real quick because that game is going to come up. How do I feel like I've kind of adopted the Cyclones out. My Sooners are out, and you know, I like that team like I've talked to you about. But how are you feeling about tonight's game? Tough game, Illinois.
You know, to me, this is probably the second toughest matchup in the entire tournament they could face. The only one tougher would be if they win tonight and play UConn, right? Mm-hmm. You got to talk about Illinois. I mean, you know, they have just had a phenomenal second half of this year. And, you know, they've got the one thing that could be kryptonite for Iowa State, which is athletic scorers, right? If Iowa State goes through a scoring slump, it could be a bad night for us. But that defense is always going to hold us in game. And you saw it a little bit in that Washington State game, right? Washington State jumped out to a lead, but that defense is just so brutal on teams that they could not sustain it for 40 minutes. And Iowa State ran away from it in the second half. And I can see the exact same thing happening tonight. In fact, I hope that's what happens, is Illinois just kind of gets tired of having to play 30 full seconds to get a shot off each time and finally just says, I'm done with it.
That's the key. They've got to get the game in their flow, right? In their, style of play, Iowa State style of play I'm talking about. You got to slow them down and you make it a possession by possession game. I think Iowa State can beat them. So, well, I think they will beat them, not can. I think they will beat them, I should say. That's the game of the tournament for me so far. I can't wait for that one. We got to get this show done so we don't have anything going on for that game, right? So we recap what happened last weekend to start this show. So we'll do a little bit of that, of what happened last weekend. We really don't need to talk about the Jeff Ruby because it doesn't have a lot of Derby implications. You claimed endlessly. It was a great claim. I thought he was fantastic. So I will, I guess, ask you, I know you're probably disappointed that endlessly is probably not going to the Derby. But do you agree with the move to bring him back to the turf?
100%. Actually, when I claimed him, I thought that is what would happen. He would run in the Jeff Ruby, and I thought he was the class of that race, and he showed it, right? Just ran off the screen, and I texted you right after and said, we might have just seen the best three-year-old. He's just going to run on the turf the rest of the year and not on the dirt. So that was before Knightsbridge ran today. So, I think McCarthy had a plan, and I really respect a trainer that does what puts a horse in the best position to consistently win. And that's what he's doing.
Yep. No, I totally agree. I thought, boy, I hope, you know, running in the Derby doesn't kind of set that horse back, 'cause he looks like he's really coming on. So it was the right move. Let's go. We'll get to Knightsbridge in a second, but let's go to Catching Freedom over in Louisiana, the Louisiana Derby down at Fairgrounds. Look, I think up the backstretch, Paul, we were all a little bit worried about him. He does come from out of it, but not that far out of it. But a last to first stretch run there to get the job done. What were your thoughts on Catching Freedom?
I thought he was ultra impressive in that race, he couldn't have had a better jockey on it. 'Cause if you go back to the beginning of that race, right, your horse, you know, breaks through the gate. And I saw an interview with Pratt afterwards, and Pratt talked about how unsettling that was, you know, for his horse, for Catching Freedom. And he came out of the gate slow, and then he got pinched, and Pratt didn't panic, right? He let him go to the back, and he, And I think Pratt knew quickly he was on the best horse. And, you know, when they got to the top of the stretch, you saw, you know, Track Phantom, who just doesn't want to go that far. Good horse, but doesn't want to go that far. And you saw those other horses start to come back to him. And wow, did Catching Freedom's motor just kick in. And he, because the pace was not, you know, a tremendously fast pace, and he just mowed him down. I thought it was very impressive. Definitely the best performance that we've seen in Louisiana.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I think the biggest thing with Catching Freedom, he ran straight. You know, I thought that was the biggest thing. Like, and we just hadn't seen it. And we kind of talked about it. You know, he didn't run straight in the Smarty Jones in the stretch, but those horses weren't good enough to beat him anyway. And then he went up against better horses in that Risen Star, like you mentioned, and he can't run left and right in the stretch right. and beat good horses. And so he kind of had his head on correctly. We had a ton of money lined up with him on the wagering guide, so we were extremely nervous up the backside. But you did kind of get that feeling about mid-stretch when you finally picked him up and you thought, oh, he's moving much better than everybody else. I'm not sure about him in the Derby. I don't know if he's ready to win a race like that or not. You kind of text me after and you thought, I think at this moment he's the Derby favorite. Now that we've kind of let it digest a little bit, kind of overall, what are your thoughts on Catching Freedom for the Derby?
So to just clarify that a little bit, so you guys had a great conversation last week about moving through this Derby cycle a week at a time, right? Yeah. So coming out of last week, you know, Catching Freedom, you know, would be your number one horse. And then, you know, we've got three big preps this week. And my full expectation is somebody is going to step up today or Saturday and probably tell us that they're going to be a favorite over Catching Freedom. But coming out of last weekend, you know, he was the most impressive horse that was going to go on into the Derby. I don't think his style is going to be a Derby champion either. You know, he hasn't shown us what Mage and even Rich Strike did the last couple of years with that ability to weave in and out of traffic. Mm-hmm. And in the Derby, you're not coming around, you know, 11 other horses, you're coming around 19 other. If he doesn't break well in the Derby, then, you know, he's going to attempt to do what Mo Donegal did a couple of years ago. And Mo Donegal might've been the best horse in that race, the year Rich Strike won, but Rich Strike saved all the ground, came up that rail. Mo Donegal was out in the parking lot and could not close and get there.
You kind of made a point to me after Mage won it last year. You said, you know, I think sometimes we got to look for the most athletic horse. If they're a closing, if you're going to back a closer, I need to look for some athleticism. And that's kind of, you kind of go, well, how do you really measure athleticism in a horse? But it's kind of what you're talking about. Proven they can go inside and outside and kind of weave through traffic and stuff like that, where you're right. Like Sierra Leone and Catching Freedom, what have they done? They kind of loop the outside. And we've seen it. If you take that route in the Derby, you better be way the best, like much, much the best. And so that is kind of the worry. And you're right. I mean, Sierra Leone seems like a huge horse. He's going to have trouble doing that. And you look at Catching Freedom, I do think he looks a little more athletic just the way he runs and like his size and stuff. But he's got that goofiness about him, right? And that is a little bit of a worry. One horse that I think, if we'll move on to today, I was ready for Knightsbridge, and I know you were. I know you were too. I thought that was ridiculously good. What did you think of your fantasy horse there, Knightsbridge?
You know, I never thought he was going to lose at any moment in that race. Mm-hmm. You could see that Alvarado had him well under control the entire time, and he didn't face. Let's be honest, he didn't face a great field today. But what you were looking for was what happened, right? He put him away, and then he just stomped on him, and then he just geared down. I thought physically, he's probably the most impressive horse that we've seen come through this. He's a beautiful looking horse. I mean, you cannot look at him and not, you know, just think that's a beautiful, beautiful looking horse. As I texted you earlier today, it's a shame that he is running March 28th and not February 28th. Because I think we probably would have seen something special on Derby Day if he was able to get there.
And not only Kentucky Derby Day, but I think we're going to talk about the Florida Derby here in just a second. I think he would be who we were talking about the most, right? If he could have got that allowance race, say he could have got that allowance race on Fountain of Youth Day, which we kind of talked about that privately. It's like, hey, he's kind of working back towards it. Maybe he'll get there Fountain of Youth Day. And then he kind of missed the work again. It's like, oh, he's not going to make it. But Paul, the thing that I keep kind of going back to, and Curtis, I'll put your comment up there because you're alluding to what I'm getting ready to say. Catching Freedom, Sierra Leone, there are others out there as well that they're all kind of come from behinders, and that's okay. I don't have a problem with it. But in the Derby, it's always a little terrifying, right? You want that horse that can be forwardly placed. The perfect thing in the Derby and with a lot of races, you don't want a horse that's so headstrong they have to get the lead, but you want enough tactical speed where you don't get way behind a lot of horses. To me, that's Knight's Bridge. I think he does everything the right way. You watch him and it's like he can go fast, but if one's going really fast, he'll stalk them. He'll sit there, have the perfect trip. That's kind of the horse I've been looking for this whole time. And I think Track Phantom is that horse, but he's not good enough and he doesn't want to go that long but he does kind of do things the right way. This Knight's Bridge, I don't know, man. He seems like the horse to me. I mean, he did everything how he's supposed to do it, I feel like, today.
Well, you know what, when you watch him, and if you just take away the names, right, you think that Nisos is still in training and he just ran today, right?
Right.
Now, they're by the same sire. They're by the same damn sire. There's a lot of pedigree alike in those two. They look alike when they run. I mean, when Nisos won his last race, had Baffert been allowed to run in the Derby, that was everybody's pick, right? Mm-hmm. You know, because he's that horse, and he's gone, and obviously Knightsbridge is not going to make it. And I think that's what makes these next couple of weeks really, really fun, is because somebody has to be there the first Saturday in May, and who's it going to be?
All right. Well, that's a great segue. It's like you're an old pro at this because we're getting to it. Let's get to it. Let's try to break down the races here. So what we're going to do, Paul and I are going to take you through the three Kentucky Derby prep races going on this weekend, and then we're also going to, at the end, talk about the Dubai World Cup, you know, one of the richest races, not the richest anymore. So we have got a lot to cover. All right, Paul, let's get to it. Let's see. What does Jared usually do? He usually goes, "Let's go."
And they're off in the Curlin Florida Derby.
All right, guys, let's kick it off here. Gulfstream Park is where we're going to go. We're going to go to the Florida Derby. It's going to be race 14 on the card, a field of 11 grade one event here. Favoritism goes to the number 10 Fierceness at 8-5. All right, Paul, where are you going?
Well, this one's the most challenging of the three, I think, to really sort through and figure out, you know, who's going to be there at the end. Because it's a tale of two races, right? You either have Fierceness, who shows up with, you know, his two best races, and he trounces this field, you know, and doesn't look back. Or you have the Fierceness that has just thrown two clunkers, and then it becomes really anybody's race. And I have a problem, you know, certainly putting my money, you know, if I'm doing a win bet, it is not going to be on Fierceness. You can't take that bet at low dollar that he's going to be or pay out. Yeah. So I ultimately bounced all over this board, and I came back to Hades. You know, I love what Hades' trainer has said about this horse coming in. So, you know, Hades' trainer, you know, he went on record the other day and said that he would be shocked if this horse did not win. And you know, that is a big statement, you know, coming from a guy that most average fans don't know who he is. Now, this is a guy that has had success on the Triple Crown trail. It's been, you know, quite a while since he's been here, but he's had triple crown success. He's positioned this horse right. He did not go to the Fountain of Youth and targeted this race. The horse is coming in training very well. I think he's going to be on the lead again. I mean, I tried to find somebody that naturally is going to go with him, and I don't know that there's anybody that's going to outpace him, you know, to the lead. He's going to be out of that two hole, so he's going to have a quick, you know, opportunity to be on the front. Remember, it's breaking from a mile and eighth. You know, it's a quick turn into that, or it's quick into that turn, into that first turn, which I think also goes against fierceness. You know, I put down the note as kind of preparing for this. I was like, you know, the one thing I want to bring up about fierceness in that outside post is, remember, you know, Gunrunner, when he broke in the Pegasus, mm-hmm. and he came out of the 12 hole and he went off at even money that day when he should have been 1-9 because people were scared about him coming from an outside post. Gunrunner's one of the best horses that we've seen in my lifetime. Fierceness is no Gunrunner, and fierceness to me lacks the desire to win. So if he has any traffic problems or any challenge coming out of that 10 hole, I think he's going to be at a real disadvantage, and that's why I ultimately ended up with Hades on top.
Yeah, I feel like you're right. From the 10 hole, you're a horse like Fierceness, you've kind of shown you don't really like to be around other horses. It kind of forces the hand to just gun it out to the lead and try to get to the front and cross over on everybody. And I think you're right. I think he's at a major disadvantage here. I'd like him better if he was at the two hole where Hades is, and he can kind of go to the front. I'm on the same kind of thought process as you. I'm going to fade Fierceness in this spot as well. You know, I kind of look at it like this, obviously a great debut. The second race, I do think you could make some excuses for him. The track was extremely just sloppy. He never really looked comfortable. If you go back and watch the replay of that race, even when he wasn't firing yet, even when he was backing, before he was backing up, he didn't look comfortable. So it's like, okay, obviously Breeders' Cup, great race. I'm struggling to find the excuse in the last race. That's the problem with me. He kind of had it won. All he has to do is have just a little bit of kick and he wins that race. And he kind of eyeballed Hades, and Hades rallied back on him, and Fierceness just stopped. He backed up so bad that he, you know, Domestic Product was able to pass him. Like, and again, he goes backwards. I really don't think this horse has any heart. I don't think he, quote unquote, needs the lead. I think he just needs to, when he turns for home, he's way ahead and nobody's around him. I think that's the biggest problem. And I think when you look at Fierceness and you look at, if you look at him and Hades side by side in that race, Fierceness is a tiny little horse. And seriously, people may not realize this. Horses get intimidated. He might just be intimidated by other horses. So I'm with you. I can't back him. He just didn't have an excuse last time out. That being said, I didn't put Hades on top. I am going to use him, though. I put Conquest Warrior, the 9 horse, on top. I really, really love what this horse is doing and what he's building. When you look at the maiden special weight, which was the debut race, he got beat by El Cappy. Shout out to El Cappy. Who knows when we'll see you again. But that was a typical Mott first-time start, just trying to get a race under their belt. He got in so much trouble in his next start. I don't know how he ever beat Antiquarian. I really don't. But he was able to rally and beat him. And then I know it was Merritt's not a good horse, and all those other horses in that allowance, they weren't good. He dusted him. He beat him similar to how Knight's Bridge was able to beat that field today. I think there's a lot more to him. He's got a win at a mile and an eighth. I think he's the one to beat. So I went Conquest Warrior on top. I think he'll swoop by him all. So you're on Hades. Who else are you kind of looking for in this race?
Well, I do want to say that I like that pick of Conquest Warrior because I really think that Hades is going to be out front, which means somebody has to come get him, right? And I don't think this field is all that strong. But the one horse that could really break here and be something special out of this race, because I don't think it's Fierceness, could be Conquest Warrior. Shug McGee, he's a great trainer. He knows how to get a horse ready, and he's not going to rush one, right, either. But I think Conquest Warrior is certainly the horse that could come get him. One horse I want to ask you about, because I do think that at these odds, you have to pay attention to him. And so I wanted to bring up Seminole Chief, right?
Okay.
So I think there could be a lot of crazy things that happen in this race. If Fierceness doesn't fire and Conquest Warrior isn't as good as what we hope. Who else could step up? And Seminole Chief, you look at his breeding and you say probably not, you know, a mile and eighth horse, but his only victories, you know, outside of his maiden have come at longer distances. Mm-hmm. You know, his last race, he got on the lead and took a gate to wire. This could be the horse that potentially takes the lead away from Hades, in my mind, if anybody does. And again, I don't expect a fast pace here. So if somebody gets out front and is brave enough to take it the distance, maybe it's this horse. This could be well over his head, but maybe it's this horse that gets out there and gets brave on the lead.
Yeah, 30-1. I think there's worse horses you could play, and you kind of mentioned it. Kind of got back going last time out. The Withers, just kind of draw a line through that. That was a non-effort, yeah. And he's kind of the same. He's had some non-efforts, and then he's had some good ones. He's a lot like Fierceness in that way. My longer price here, I thought Bail Us Out was kind of interesting. The three horse for Todd Pletcher. This horse coming off of a maiden special weight went over the synthetic, but it was a two turn race. I thought he really improved in that race after just a poor race on the dirt. You get Irad aboard in this spot. I thought it was interesting that he jumps on one. He kind of had to ride somebody though. There wasn't much out there for him. So I thought the three Bail Us Out might be getting better, might be the horse kind of stretching out now to a mile and an eighth, might like it a little bit. What'd you think about Bail Us Out?
Well, he's got the right connections, right? Pletcher, Irad, and it seems like every year Pletcher does this to us, right? You know, his season seems to have come off the rails as far as getting a Derby champion. And then all of a sudden you look up and he's got five horses in the Derby and you wonder how it happened. Yep. You know, this could very well be that horse that, you know, gets first or second in this race and comes out of nowhere and just becomes another Pletcher special, some horse that maybe, you know, will not do anything in the Derby, but ends up breaking from the gate.
Yep. No, I absolutely get second somehow in this race, like you said, and finds a way. It just kind of feels like we're going to get a logical winner and then it might be something weird because it's the inconsistencies of some of these horses. All right. Is there anybody else you want to talk about before we move on?
No, I think it's really, you know, comes down to what does Fierceness do? And nobody knows, you know, I guarantee you Pletcher doesn't know. They have no idea what's going to happen when he breaks from that gate. What does he do? If he doesn't show up, I think the two logical horses are Hades and Conquest Warrior. One's going to be out front. The other one has the potential to be the class of this race. And then it gets crazy from there.
Yeah, I think you're right. And in just a little insider knowledge, they didn't have any idea what Fierceness was going to do at the Breeders' Cup either. And they are admitting they don't really know here either. So it's just going to be really interesting to see how it plays out. All right, you're on number two, Hades. I'm on number nine, Conquest Warrior. Also, Jared is on number nine, Conquest Warrior as well. He wanted me to make sure to give out his picks there. So Paul on the two, Jared and I both on the nine. All right. Let's move on here and let's go to the Arkansas Derby. That's what we will do next here on the show.
And they're off in the Arkansas Derby.
Another big one, obviously a grade one race, the Arkansas Derby live at Oaklawn Park. Let's see, what race do they have this one slotted as? Race 12 here at Oaklawn. Field of 10 for this one, Paul. I don't know. It's a mixed bag is how I would call it. I'm not sure if I'm pumped or not for this race, but let's hear what you have to say about the Arkansas Derby.
Well, I think if you like a horse, you're going to get a decent payday out of this. Because with Muth, Mystic Dan and Timberlake all being in there, I mean, they're going to take the lion's share of the money, but none of them are going to go off at 3-5, 4-5, you know, mm-hmm. Even money move, maybe 6-5, 7-5. He seems like the logical favorite here. But I think you're going to get value on a horse. If you really take a stand and like one of them, I think there's more talent, top to bottom in this race than the Florida Derby really working hard to say that. The challenge I had when looking at this, you know, I think in Florida Derby, Hades is going to be out front and they got to come get him. I don't know who's going to be on the lead here. You know, there are 5 to 6 horses that want to do the same thing in that stock. You know, mm-hmm. one of them has to be out front. So when you have that challenge, you're going to have, you know, just a big mess probably for when you hit the top of the stretch. And then I think it just comes down to class. So ultimately I landed on Muth. I think he is the best horse in the race. I'm a little worried that, you know, he's been a little inconsistent with training and he was scheduled to go in the San Felipe and everybody thought he was going there, did not end up being, you know, drawn in or go. So I'm a little worried about that piece of it, but I think he's the class of this race. And I ultimately ended up with him.
Yeah, I think it's we're going to be on the same horse here. I like number 7 Muth quite a bit in this spot as well. I kind of agree with this comment. As far as the pace goes, I think Time for Truth is going to go. The 4 horse seems to be the one to me that's going to try to take him gate to wire here. Just kind of how forwardly placed he's been in some of those sprint races. And I kind of agree. I kind of think if Muth, you mentioned it, maybe he's a little bit keyed up and maybe he tries to run with them too early and gets into that pace duel, or he's just not quite as sharp. I think that's what you got to worry about with Muth off 84 days rest. But I'm kind of with Curtis. I think the 4 gets in front and the 7 just tucks right there behind him, tracks him the whole way, gets first run on the 4. And then it'll be just a matter of trying to hold off Timberlake and Mystic Dan, you know, Liberal Arts, things like that. But at the end of the day, I'm kind of with you. I just think Muth is the best horse. He's the most talented horse. You know, I hate that we haven't seen him in 84 days, but when he came back in the San Vicente, Paul, didn't he feel like, geez, he's getting better. Like, he looked really good in that race, I thought.
Yeah, without a doubt. You know, I thought, you know, coming back, you know, off the layoff that day, he didn't look like he'd been out for a long time. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, he looked like the best horse and showed it easily that day.
Yeah. I was very, very impressed with him in that race as well. So yeah, I think we're both on Muth. But before we talk about others, let's do some pretending real quick here, Paul. Let's pretend that Bob Baffert could run at Churchill Downs and in the Kentucky Derby. How do you feel like let's pretend like Muth wins how we think, like a solid win, right? How do you think he would rank up or stack up with these horses currently for the Derby?
Oh, if you add the Bob Baffert connections, he would be your favorite come Derby morning.
Yeah,
I mean he looks like a solid horse. I mean his breeding says he's going to run all day. Good Magic, Uncle Mo, you know he should have no problem with the distance. I think it's a little strange kind of how Bob has managed him. But again, all of Bob's horses have been managed a little differently because there's no Derby to aim at. So he's got to aim at different races and keep these horses moving forward with some other end goal in play.
You got to think it's Preakness, right, with Muth. I mean, this is a perfect setup, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think the distance will be really good for him. He'll be fresh. Coming off, but if Baffert were able to run in the Derby and Muth goes out and wins the way you and I think that he will on Saturday, I would think that he would have to be your favorite when the gates open.
I think you're right about that. And you know, look, I think a lot of years Baffert sends that second stringer to Oaklawn because, you know, winning the Sanity Derby might be a little tougher. I think he looks at it this year and goes, okay, there's nothing in California. I can win the Sanity Derby with, you know, Wind Me Up or Imagination or some horse I just grab out of my barn, May Moon, you know, any of those horses, they can go out there and win it. So I need to send maybe my best one or most experienced one to Oaklawn this year because it's a little bit tougher. So I kind of think that's why Muth is here versus the Santa Anita Derby, because I think Baffert thinks I've got that race on lock anyway. And, hey, if May Moon goes out and dominates the Santa Anita Derby, well, you got 2 horses heading to the Preakness that'll look pretty darn good. Who else you want to talk about? Like, who else do you like besides Muth in this race?
Well, there's a big 3, right? You know, Muth, yeah. Timberlake, You know, I mean, I thought Timberlake looked really, really good coming back from his layoff. And he, I think he showed us when he won last time out that Breeders' Cup Juvenile was a good race. You mm-hmm. know, he had a solid run there. Nobody was touching Fierceness that day, but I think you have to respect him here. You know, if Muth, you know, and I think Muth is going to catch the lead at the top of the stretch. And if he's not quite ready to go the distance, then Timberlake is the logical horse that's going to come get him.
I'm with you. I like Timberlake a little bit as well. I know we kind of, when we talked about the Rebel, we were like, this is really bad. But you kind of want to beat Timberlake. You don't think he's very good. But when you watch Timberlake, that was okay. You know, the Rebel was fine. There isn't anything really to get pissed off about him about. I mean, he did not run very well. I mean, the Rebel wasn't a very good race, I should say, but he ran well. So I don't know. I think he is kind of an interesting horse as well, that they could get up there and maybe pull the upset of Muth. It would be a mild upset. I'm going to make Shoddy happy, but I think the 5 Liberal Arts, I think he may be the one at a huge number to get up there and really cause some trouble. He reminds me a little bit, Paul, of Honor Marie. If you remember Honor Marie, you know, last week in the Louisiana Derby, had that improvement, second off the layoff, ran second. I think Liberal Arts can make that kind of improvement here and maybe scare some horses, especially if the pace does kind of get hot. I think he's going to come running. What do you think of Liberal Arts?
Well, you know, the first thing that you got to talk about Liberal Arts is his sire, Arrogate, right? So, one, you know, how phenomenal has he been as a sire and lost him way too early. But I think Liberal Arts, he's the type of horse, just like Arrogate, that's going to continue to improve with two things. One, with time, and one with distance. So it would not surprise me at all to look up at the end of the day and see him, you know, coming down and capturing this thing at the wire and taking it from somebody that, you know, like a Muth or, you know, maybe Timberlake gets the lead and Liberal Arts comes and gets him. One other horse I really want to talk about is Mystic Dan. And if I jumped out on you, I apologize. But
no, you're right.
I think this is, you know, we've talked about, right? We talked about it in the opening. A horse that is athletic enough to come through traffic and win, you know, a crazy derby.
Yep.
This could be it, right? I mean, this could be him. And if you look at that last race, I mean, he came through the slop, he came through horses, he came up the rail, and just dominated that field. I mean, it was impressive to watch. I don't know where it came from. And I don't know if he can replicate it. And he certainly, you know, could have jumped forward just because of the slop that day and the track. But if he is able to duplicate that performance, he's going to be there.
Yeah, I know. He's the weird one, right? Because, like, you're right. If he does that again, let's again pretend he does that again in the Arkansas Derby. Are you and I, like, going to be sitting there the night before the Kentucky Derby going, I can't believe I'm betting on Kenny McPeak to win the Kentucky Derby? Because the bottom line, and you're right, the race he ran in that Southwest, it's better than anything we've seen, right? So is that a conversation you're ready to have if Mystic Dan does this again? I mean, I'm almost rooting against him so we don't have to have that conversation.
I don't think I'm ever ready to have that conversation. But you know, again, the horse, if he comes out and he does that and he wins this race, and I'm really, you know, let's say Muth is the goods, right? And Muth comes out and just dominates this race, but Mystic Dan runs a really good second and comes through traffic again. Muth is not going to the Derby. He didn't have to face him again. You know, so he could come out of this, you know, finishing second, and you're still going, he might have a shot. Now, I'd much rather him be second coming out of this race than first, because if he's second, he's going to go to the Derby and he's going to be 20-1 odds in the Derby. And that's where you want to McPeak. You want him at 20-1, not 5-1. So,
yep. Yeah. No, I totally agree with that. And I think that's the, that's you, you really want him at like 50 to one. No, I'm just kidding. Not that high, but you do want a much better price. And it's kind of like Magic said here, you know, even, even in this field at 5-2, he's tough to swallow, even though it's like, oh man, he did run so well, but you're right. I mean, it is kind of the one outlier. I will say, you know, the maiden special weight going 5.5 at Churchill, his second race, you go back and watch that. It did look similar-ish to what he did in the Southwest. And I think my kind of thought process on Mystic Dan after he ran the 1 mile allowance at Churchill didn't look very good. And then ran the stakes race at Oakland there, the Smarty Jones, and he didn't look very good again. My thought was just cutting back, dummy, like cutting back to one turn. He's going to, or to 5.5, 6 furlongs, he'll be fine. And then he pops up and runs that race. So my kind of theory on it is the slop or the mud that day moved him up, and the rail maybe moved him up. Sometimes that rail can play to horses when it's muddy at Oakland. So that's my best guess, Paul. I just can't, I don't know. I just can't imagine him doing it again. I just can't.
I can't either. And that's why I didn't put him on top. I'm not going to be surprised if we're sitting here, you know, Saturday evening and Mystic Dan has just somehow won this race. It wouldn't surprise me. One other horse I do want to talk about. I don't think he's a win contender, but I just want to talk about him because anytime D. Wayne's got a horse in this race, you got to talk about him. And you know, how many times has he ran this horse? You know, are we touching 20 yet? I mean, it's a ton, but Just Steal.
Yeah.
I don't think he's going to win, but this is a horse that's going to be a high odds horse that could definitely come in underneath and make that thing pay.
Yeah. I mean, Just Steal is a horse at 15-1 and he's sitting here for his 11th race. This 11th race of his career here. I mean, my goodness, he ran well, Smarty Jones in the Southwest, and he kind of said, I'm tired in the Rebel. That's what I felt like he was saying. He just didn't fire. And this is a horse that had been consistently firing. He hasn't had a break, Paul. So it's like, I don't know what's going to change for him going longer today in another race. But you're right. I mean, it would be kind of cool to see D-Wayne do it. I don't know. I couldn't get there with him. I just couldn't get there with him. I thought Dymatic, maybe second time facing winners, could improve a little bit. I thought he was one to kind of take a look at. Curtis Manilow keeps saying he thinks Will Take It is going to hit the board. 50-1 on the rail. This horse is still a maiden, but did improve greatly last time out, going a 1/16 on a fast track. Only got beat a nose. All right. Anybody else you want to talk about before we go on?
No, I think it's clearly, you know, how well does Muth do here? Is he the horse that is going to go into the Preakness as the favorite? How good is Timberlake? Does Timberlake really want the distance? And is Mystic Dan for real or not? I think it comes down to answering those three questions, and you're going to get answers Saturday night on those three.
Yep, for sure. And I think it'll be a little depressing if our top choice, number 7, Muth, does win this one, because it's like, oh man, like now what, you know? So he's not going to the Derby, but that is what it is. All right, we're both on Muth. Jared took number 2 Timberlake, so he picked both of his fantasy horses here, and we'll see what Timberlake can do. Flavian Pratt getting aboard there as well. So number 7 Muth for both of us, and then Timberlake the 2 horse for Jared.
They're off in the UAE Derby.
Let's go now to Dubai. Let's go over Dubai. This is probably the one you really want to talk about. We're going to start with the UAE Derby to kick off the coverage here. A field of 13 here. All eyes on number 5, Forever Young. This is a horse you own in fantasy. This is a horse John White has said is his number 1 Kentucky Derby horse out of right now. So I'll let you kick us off here. Thoughts on the UAE Derby?
Well, for about a month, I've been singing that song, Forever Young. So I don't think today is the day to get off of him. I watched that Saudi Derby, and when I watched it live, I wondered what we had just seen. I expected it to be a runaway with him, just because of the hype that's on this horse. you know, and anybody that follows horse racing at all, and especially this Derby trail, they know who this horse is. And they've heard about him. They've seen the hype. You know, but when you go back and watch those replays, you know, he did everything wrong that day. It's probably the worst race that he's ran. But the one thing that I was impressed with is this horse wants to win. He came and got, you know, a horse that ran fantastic that day. And, you know, John White, the one thing he was quick to point out was, you know, they smashed that record for mm-hmm. that by over a second and a half. I mean, just obliterated it. You know, so for him to do everything wrong that day, to have to come get a horse that was naturally built for that. And this horse does not want that distance. He wants every bit of this mile and 3/16 that he's going to get and longer. You know, if he can make it to the Derby, he's going to relish the mile and a quarter, you know? So I think really this race comes down to how good is he, you know, I think we're going to see him win. And how good is he? I think that's the question.
I think kind of everybody wanted that quick answer. I know I was getting a lot of texts that morning, and I just kept telling people, it's like, guys, like, I don't know. Like, the races over at Saudi are so strange. They play so weird. I said, let's not forget, Dermot Sotogate lost that race and then went over to Dubai and ran like a house of fire. I said, that's really, you just can't tell. You just really cannot tell what from that track over to the next. So it's just like a wait and see. And that's kind of how I have for every young ranked. I've got him like 5, 6, 7 around in there. And it's just like, well, look, I'm waiting for this race and we'll see what happens. I didn't love the performance, but I didn't really love anybody's performance in that race. And I think the biggest thing, and I think this determination has to be made. Who is what is Bookham Dano? Is he a really good horse? Is he like at that distance? Is he very, very good? Or is he just he's not that great. He's a horse that won at Tampa and Forever Young could barely beat him. I think that's the key. To me, Paul, when I watch it live, I thought Bookham Dano ran a great race that day and probably should have won.
Yeah, I think he probably should have, right? And that's why I go back, and certainly I'm biased, you know, because I own the horse in the fantasy league, but I go back to there's a difference between a horse like Forever Young, who sees a horse and has a desire to go get him, and a horse like Fierceness that comes up against Hades and says, I don't want any part of this. Mm-hmm. You know, and that day, you know, I think we saw that he wants to win, and you cannot tell me that horses, some horses are just built to win and they want it. And I saw that day in him. You know, he went and got that horse, you know, he did whatever he had to do to get there. So that checked a box for me. Now the question is really how good he is. I don't know that we're going to have an answer after this race, to be honest. I don't know that there's a whole lot of quality in this. I think Pandagate, you know, is an interesting, you know, American horse that's coming over, you know, has good connections, has shown some good things in New York races. But I don't know that we're going to have a whole lot of answers yet on Forever Young, even if he wins this race.
Yeah, I'm with you on that one. And it is something to be said for a horse that does everything wrong, so to speak. He didn't do everything wrong, but he did a lot of things wrong and he still won. So, but now we need to see him do everything right and win. Right. Yes. So he showed heart, he showed guts, he showed all that stuff. But if he's kind of squirrely like he was in that last race, well, it doesn't really matter. If he has hearts and guts, he's going to get beat by, you know, a horse that's just better than him and more talented than him. Moving on from it, well, we're both on him. Jared's on him as well. All three of us picked Forever Young. I think some main contenders, I think Mendelsohn Bay, I almost put this horse on top. I think he's pretty darn good. I think he's coming into this race well. Distance shouldn't be any problem for this horse whatsoever. So I did like Mendelsohn Bay quite a bit in this spot. And you mentioned Pandagate. I'm with you there, but you know, I really feel like, and I could get burned on this one, but I think Henry Adams, I know he's only been on the turf. I don't know. I just kind of feel like this is a horse that's going to show up with a decent race here as well. So I kind of went 5, 10, 8. Anybody else that you thought about in this one?
Well, anytime Aiden comes in, and typically it's turf, right? But you have to pay attention to him, and you see where Ryan Moore landed. He landed on Henry Adams, so that logically would tell you that that's the strongest of those two. But if you remember, last year, the Japanese went 1, 2, 3, 4 in this race. And we just don't know enough about some of these Japanese horses, but there's a ton of them in here. So how good are they? Obviously Forever Young leads that pack, and we all know about them. But if you remember 2 years ago, the Japanese got two entries into the Derby out of this race. So this is a race that Japan has circled on their calendar, and they've come and they've just completely dominated this race for years. So it would not surprise me, honestly, if any of these Japanese horses won this race.
I looked at the six up for a long time and found a couple of replays. George Tesoro, I don't know how you say it. But anyway, the six, I think, does make a little bit of sense as kind of that quote-unquote other Japan horse outside of Forever Young. I mean, did you have one specifically, or just like, hey, keep an eye on all of them?
No, I think this is a tough race to bet because Forever Young, that's a pipe dream if you think you're getting 9-5 on him in this race. He's going to be bet down really hard. So it's going to be a tough race to bet unless you really have somebody that you like. And so many of these horses we just don't know enough about. We don't see them. You got to search the internet to find replays on some of these horses, but I am interested in seeing what all of these Japanese horses do. I mean, they come here to win these races.
It is a little frustrating, these international races, when we get to these big cards and you really want to bet and you want to get serious about it, and then it's like, well, where do I get past performances that I can even read? It is kind of frustrating. And so you do your homework and you try to watch these replays, but at the same time, it's like, well, I don't really know. Okay. He looked okay, but like, who's this horse? Who's this horse? Who did we beat? All this stuff. So it does make it really tricky to handicap these international races. You basically just have to go off the replays. So I'm with you on that one. All right. So we're all three on this one going to be on the number 5, Forever Young. Okay, before we move on, I do need to do a little advertisement for you here. The Florida Derby Betting Bible getting ready to come out. It is working on it now. Jared's got to finish his portion of it up, and we will be ready to roll with it. It is for pre-sale right now, so if you're listening right now, go get your hands on the Betting Bible, but it is pre-sale. It'll come out in full tomorrow. My guess is sometime in late afternoon, maybe late morning if we're lucky. So that will be out. That's going to cover all 14 races on the Florida Derby card, and also the bonus races, two races Paul and I just talked about, the UAE Derby and the Arkansas Derby. Let's not forget the Betting Bible last weekend for the Louisiana Derby. If you played the bankroll article, it got a combined $825 profit. So one of the best betting Bibles we've ever done, and we hope to parlay that into success this weekend. So get your hands on the Betting Bible now. All right, Paul, now that that's out of the way, let's go to the last race we're going to cover. It is the Dubai World Cup.
Gates fly. They're racing in the Dubai World Cup.
Look, it's a field of 12 this year. It'll be race 9 there at Maidan. Don't ask me the time. I think it's 11:30 Central, 12:30 Eastern. I'm pretty sure that's correct. Could be wrong. But field of 12, I thought this was crazy wide open this year. What do you think about the World Cup?
I think this is just an excellent race. Yep. Even if you're not betting it, and I understand if you're not going to bet any of the races in Dubai, you have to watch this. There are just some fantastic horses in here. Senor Buscador, we love the horse. He's just, gives you his A effort every time. Mm-hmm. Is it good enough? I don't know. But just go down the field. I mean, one of the real difference between this race, obviously, and the UAE Derby is, I don't know any of those horses in the UAE Derby without, doing a lot of studying. But go through this list, right? We know all of these horses. Laurel River and Defunded now run overseas, but they they were here, you know, and they ran in America a lot. Laurel River was on the Derby Trail, you know, a number of years ago and is overseas now running. I just think it's going to be a fantastic race to watch. And I think there's a number of horses that can win this thing. I ultimately came back to Ushba Tesoro. I think he's got a great chance to repeat here. I love Senor Buscador, and I think I know where you're going there. So I'm going to let you talk, and then I'll talk about why I went to Ushba versus Buscador.
Yeah, look, I went Senor Buscador because I just want to root for him. You know, To be honest, I will probably bet the UAE Derby. I probably will not bet this. I think it's so tough to win this race and to bet this race accurately. So and that's why I don't do product for Dubai World Cup night, even though I know we'd sell some. It's like I don't have the knowledge to do it to where I would sleep at night knowing I gave out those picks. So but anyway, I'm rooting for number 10 Senor Buscador. Just an incredible experience watching him win that last race, win the Saudi Cup. So if he could win the Saudi Cup and the Dubai World Cup, that would be amazing. I think the logical pick is Ushba Tesoro, though. I think that makes a ton of sense. He's he's world class. That's how you described Ushba Tesoro. He's been everywhere. You know, he usually shows up and runs pretty well, minus the Breeders' Cup. He didn't run well, but everywhere else he has. And my goodness, he nearly got that Saudi Cup. They were right there together. So, yeah. But look, I can't go against my Remington Park horse. I went number 10 Senor Buscador on top, but I think my logic tells me, hey, Ushba Tesoro is going to be awfully tough in this race.
Well, make no doubt about it. When it comes to this race, I will be rooting for Senor Buscador. That's the horse that I want to win. My challenge with him winning this race was, quite honestly, the mile and a quarter. I think mile and an eighth, and that's where all of his big stakes victories have come at, mile and eighth or that mile and 16. I think that's really his sweet spot. Ushba showed last year that mile and a quarter is no problem for him. He loves it. The horse that we haven't spoke about yet that could be the winner and could walk away from this thing easily, I think, is Dermisotagaki. I don't know what happened in Saudi, but remember last year he didn't win that at Saudi and came over here and just completely dominated this race. Yep. He looked phenomenal at the Breeders' Cup last year. And you made the statement that at one point in time you thought he might, come and get the winner of that race and win, you know. And he could come here today, and if he won by 5 lengths on Saturday, it would not surprise me. I just don't know what to make of that Saudi race, other than to just throw it out and say, are we going to get the Breeders' Cup race out of this horse?
I wanted to pick him so bad. I did. And I'm with you. It could just be a situation where we just don't like running over at Saudi. Who could blame him, right? But, you know, both of his races weren't very good there. You know, the Derby, obviously, he had his problems, right? But the Classic, he was very good. Like I said, I think he'll bounce back and run quite well here. I really do. I'm with you on that one. Okay, there's Tate. Wish you a happy birthday there, Paul. So. You got Tate. Hello, Tate. Good to see you, or good to see your picture, I guess, there. So what about this horse, Cabracon, the 6 horse? To me, it's like I just don't know. I don't know if he's classy enough, but man, he's looked very good in his 2 races at Maidan.
Yeah, I had him saved as a horse that I was going to talk about. And, one of the listeners obviously jumped in here and stole my thunder. But, because I put that down, I was like, hey, we have to talk about this horse, right? He won the local prep. He's by, California Chrome, So that's a horse that's won this race, and he's carrying a substantial amount of buzz coming into this race. He's another horse that, what are his odds when they break from the gate, right? He's probably not well known here in America, but in Dubai, they know this horse. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's going to be interesting to see what his real odds are. I don't know if he's classy enough to take on the likes of Ushba, Senior Buscador, Dermiso Tagake. We haven't even talked about Newgate, right, yet. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if he's classy enough, but he's certainly an interesting horse that I'm going to be interested to see what he does in this race.
Yeah, this is kind of why I was saying it's like I just kind of want to watch this race because I do think the six, he's one if you play him and he doesn't run very well or whatever, you go, well, why would he? Because look at all these horses he's got to face that are like world-class horses versus what he's been beaten, you know? Or you play against him and he wins and you go, well, geez, why wouldn't he win? He's just dominating over the surface, you know? So he's one that can make you mad for sure. I think you could throw Dermiso Tagake in there. It's one that could make you mad one way or the other as well. So yeah, you're right. It is. It's going to be fascinating to see what he does. What a story. If the six wins this race though, I mean, that would be incredible. A horse to rise up to this class level and win. And look, I mean, the numbers are there, you know, they do time form numbers in Dubai. He fits like those two races. He got it there at Maidan. They fit here. So it'll be very interesting to see what happens there. All right. Is there anybody else you want to talk about?
I think we could go down the list and talk about them all. You know, I really, you know, I mean, Clapton, right? I don't expect Clapton to win, but he's 60-1. I mean, this is a horse that's been pointing to this race since last year. I mean, they bought this horse to run here. You know, and Chad Summers is, you know, he started with this race and then backed it up. And I love a trainer that has a destination with the horse and is able to back it up. I don't think he's got the class to win here, but would it surprise me if he hits the board? No. I mean, they have pointed this horse at this race for over 6 months. Yep. You know, just going down the list, right? Croupy. You know, this horse is not talented enough to win this race, but he does crazy things and he comes from the back. And if somebody's out front running with Defunded and they go some crazy pace, you know, could you see him, you know, hitting the board at the end? I mean, he has no problem running all day. But like I said, I just think it's a fantastic race to watch. All of these horses, I think, are really, really good horses. If they have their best day on Saturday, I still come back to Ushba, Senior Buscador, or Derma, I think, are the real class of this race. But I'm gonna be fascinated to watch the race, and I really think it's gonna be a fun one.
Yep, it's gonna be a good one in Dubai. You don't have to wake up that early to watch this one. The rest of the card, yeah, you're gonna have to get up a little bit earlier than maybe you want to start watching horse racing. I think we got let's see, first race in Maidan is gonna be 7:05 for us. But oh, we can do that, Paul. We'll be up. Paul and I'll be up. Don't worry about it. All right, let's wrap this thing up here. And I wanted to end the show with this because you texted to me the other day and I thought, that's a really good question. I'm going to ask it on the show. And lo and behold, here you are. So I can ask you at the end of Saturday, who's going to be your number one horse for the Kentucky Derby?
So here's where I have to separate, you know, my heart from my head, right? Because if Forever Young goes out and dominates his race, you know, he's the horse that I want to win the Derby. And I think after Saturday, if he goes out and wins really handily, the betting public, if the race was Sunday, would say that's my horse and I'm going to bet on them. But I still think that next week, and we're all going to be there at the Bluegrass, I still think that we're going to see Sierra Leone. I think he's going to put on a show and he's going to face probably the best Derby prep field that we will see this entire season. And if he comes out of that and wins, then he will deserve to be number one. So he's going to be number one on my list, regardless of what happens this week, until he proves that he shouldn't be there.
Yeah. And I think to Curtis Manlow's point here, he's on door knock and he has been for months. Well, I don't know, months may be too long, but weeks for sure, Curtis. I've known that. And I think he comes into that Bluegrass with the same mindset of you, but he's talking about door knock instead of Sierra Leone. And to be fair to Curtis, we could be talking about door knock, you know, if he goes and wins that race out at dinner Saturday night. And to be fair to us, Curtis might be talking about Sierra Leone. If he wins by three or four, it does kind of feel like the Bluegrass is setting up to be the biggest prep of them all. I guess for me, I'm on the same answer, Sierra Leone. I'm ready to be off Sierra Leone. I'm just waiting for somebody to do it, right? And so Catching Freedom almost did, and maybe in the end, Catching Freedom will be my pick, but he rounds that race, and it's like, well, Sierra Leone did beat him when they faced. So if Sierra Leone improves like that, he's probably better than Catching Freedom. So I'm with him. Hopefully it's somebody else. Hypothetical, because Forever Young is probably the first international horse where I've actually given it a thought. Maybe I'll bet him in the Derby. I could see it happening. But hypothetically for you, like, what's he got to do in this race over the UAE Derby to where you go, you know what, I'm going to bet this horse to win in the Kentucky Derby?
Yeah, I think he has to do everything right. And you mentioned it earlier, right? So in that Saudi race, he did everything wrong and still got there. But you can't do that in the Derby. You know, he has to switch leads when he needs to. You know, he has to get out of the gate and not get pinched. That was part of Dermot Sotagaki's issue, you know, last year. Some of these horses have shown that they really struggle out of the gate when facing American horses. He has to get out of the gate. He has to get good position. He has to switch leads at the top of the stretch, and he has to put those horses away. Okay. And I think at that point in time, if he does all of that, then I don't think I'll be afraid to bet him in the Derby. Sierra Leone scares me. We're going to see him next week just because, you know, again, I envision that Mo Donegal path for him to get to the win. Yeah. I want to say, there's one horse that could come out of Saturday that could change my mind and say, you know what, he's probably my number one coming out of this, and we'll see how Sierra Leone does. And that is if Mystic Dan runs that race again.
Right.
I don't think he's going to, and that's why I would not put him number one today. But if he runs that race again and he smashes Muth and Timberlake, the discussion has to be had.
1,000%. 1,000%. I don't think it's going to happen, but 1,000% I'm with you. I will be like, well, I mean, what can you really say? So I'm with you on that. A couple of the horses coming up next week as well. Deterministic. I'm very interested to see what he does. I'm pretty sure he's going to be in the wood. What did you think of him? I for me, if he can take a step forward second off the layoff, it's like, okay, he may be building something. What did you think of him?
So I thought it was a great return, right? How could you not? You know, he's the logical horse to win the wood. I don't think with that pedigree, he wants anything to do with a mile and a quarter. I could see him winning the wood, everybody being super excited about him headed into the Derby and him finishing ninth or 10th and taking a lot of money, which is fine by me, because that's not a horse that I'm probably going to be betting in the Derby. Just a Touch was up on the screen just a second ago. And we're going to see him next week at the Bluegrass as well, you know? Mm-hmm. And you know, Cox has been very high on this horse since the beginning. And I'm really excited to see, because he's going to be out on the lead or near that lead, you know, with Doorknock. And I think it's going to be really interesting to see how he rebounds. It's tough to gauge a horse, you know, that maybe didn't take to the slop and really how good they are. And that wood was a mess as well that day. And we've seen that a lot through this Derby prep season, just rain all over the place. And you know, hopefully we don't get that for the Derby, you know, especially because I'll be sitting there and I'll be soaked, but you know, hopefully we don't get that. Hopefully we get a true course to run at, but I'm interested in seeing how Just a Touch does, because I think that class at the Bluegrass is going to really, really tell us how good he is.
Absolutely. I agree. Just a Touch is a good one as well. And another one, Encino, a horse that has looked very good over at Turfway, coming to the Bluegrass. I'm thankful they're bringing him up to the dirt in the Bluegrass so we can get that data point on him running on the dirt. But hey, he hasn't done anything wrong, has he? I mean, no. He's been good.
No, I'm really excited about next week. I think Deterministic, you know, I haven't, nobody knows really exactly all the horses are going to be in the wood. I think BU from Pletcher could end up there.
Yeah.
And that's a horse that has ran against the best horses that this crop has and finally broke through last time. So it'd be interesting. That could be another one of those, you know, how does Pletcher get five horses in the field this year? And
BU's
there. And, we talked about a Pletcher horse in the Arkansas Derby. You know, we could be looking here, you know, that day and going, how did he do it again? Okay. But I think there's a lot of excitement for next weekend. Not only does it kind of bring a close to the Derby prep season, but, you know, there's some, I think the potential class of the Derby field is going to be on display next weekend. This weekend, I think, you know, your potential top horse coming out of here is going to be Forever Young. Muth is not able to run in the Derby. And even if he runs and looks special, he's headed to the Preakness. Forever Young could be the best horse that we see coming out of this weekend.
Yep. I don't think I think it could happen. I really think it could happen. You look at how the other races are kind of setting up. All right. Well, we got to get out of here because you got Iowa State basketball coming up here pretty quick. To update the basketball real quick, Clemson has moved on to the Elite Eight. Clemson has upset Arizona, and also looks like Connecticut is going to roll into the Elite Eight as well. Sorry, Paul, you're not going to get a break. Even if you win, the Huskies are going to be waiting for you. So Connecticut. Well, if we
get through UConn, the break somehow becomes the Final Four. So, you know, but if you're going to win the championship this year, you got to go through UConn sometime.
Yep, I know, right? So you might as well take your shot at him in the Elite Eight, and we'll see what happens. All right, once again, Paul, happy birthday. I hope this was the best birthday present that anybody gave you today.
All right, so far it has been, yes. So we'll see how the rest of the night goes. But thanks for having me, come on. I really enjoyed it. And again, you know, what's better than spending an hour on your birthday talking about horses?
I can't think of anything that would be better than that, Paul. I certainly can't. All right. Well, we better get out of here before I say something dumb. So, all right, Paul. Once again, thanks, Paul, for joining us for this show. It was a big show. We had a lot to go over, and you did a great job, man. So thanks, everybody, for joining us. Thanks, Paul, for joining us. Everybody, root for Iowa State tonight for this guy. Hopefully they can get it done and get to the Elite Eight and close that birthday off with a victory. All right, guys, we're going to get out of here. We'll be back next week for more coverage. Make sure to get your hands on that betting Bible. That'll be coming out soon. All right, guys, thanks everybody for joining us, and we'll see you next week.
Thank you for listening to another episode of Blinkers Off. Join our horse racing community at racingdudes.com and follow us on Twitter at racing_dudes. Want to make money betting horses? Bet with the Racing Dudes.